Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome again to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Luskin, broadcasting from Seattle, Washington, with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. We again have on our show today a very special guest, Dr. Lyle Jensen, who is doing a series of six podcasts with us about his career as a scientist and also his accomplishments and also his views on evolution and how he thinks it should be taught and what he thinks about whether it's a solid scientific theory. This is the second of six podcasts with Dr. Jensen. We already did the first one where we talked about how he got interested in science originally. Just to repeat for those listeners who didn't catch that last podcast, Dr. Jensen is a fellow of the American Association for the Advancement of Science and also a fellow of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, and they're both very prestigious societies. Being a fellow of the American Association for the Advancement of Science is not the same as being a member. You can't just pay your dues and become a fellow. You have to accomplish something. And he is actually Professor Emeritus at the University of Washington, where he held positions in both the Departments of Biological Structure and the Department of Biochemistry, and he taught there for many years. And he was in 1983 awarded the Van Kuken Memorial Award in X-ray crystallography, and in 2000 received the Martin J. Berger Award, and both of these awards are from the American Crystallographic Associations. Dr. Jensen, it's again a real pleasure to have you back on our podcast with us today. Today I'd like to talk a little bit more about your becoming a scientist, and then I think for the rest of the series we'll talk about your actual accomplishments in your career and your views as a scientist. So what I'd like to talk about today is your experiences going to college during the Depression, going to graduate school. What was it like going to grad school back in the 1930s and 40s? How have things changed? And what interested you? So as we started off, you know, how you became inspired to become a scientist, I understand that you finished the eighth grade in 1930 and you went to high school. And then after that, you decided that you would go to college. Where did you go to college?
Walla Walla College, Southeastern Washington State.
And this was during the Depression that you went there, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
I mean, even today, it's always a struggle for students to pay for their college. I mean, nothing has changed in all these years, but I would imagine that during the Depression, it was very difficult to afford to go to college. So how did you get yourself through college?
Well, I knew that at Walla Walla College, a local person had a little print shop in Stanwood that he would print various things for the stores and send them out about sales and this type of thing. And he said that he would be pleased to teach me how to set the type and how to run the printing presses. And I knew that if I learned that locally, that there would be a chance of working a good part of my way, at least through Walla Walla College. It turned out that I did work my first year in the print shop, but then in the chemistry class, in the general chemistry, one of the professors taught virtually all of the main chemistry classes, and he was a very strict grader, and there were upwards of something like 80 or 90 students in the general chemistry class, and as I found out later, only one A was given in that class. And after the first year there, so he wanted me to work for him, grading papers and work in the lab in the chemistry department.
So you were immediately latched onto by your professors as someone who was a standout student.
Well, in the second quarter in Walla Walla College in 1936, the president of the college, he announced in the chapel service that there were two students who had gotten straight A's, and I wondered who they were. One was a young lady, and the other one, I was shocked but pleased when my name was announced that I'd made up enough German, so I got an A in that, got an A in everything else.
Well, that's great. If we can move on to your experiences in graduate school.
Yes.
You went to the University of Washington right here in Seattle.
Yes.
And you started in the fall of 1939. How many students were there at the school at that time?
Well, in 1939, there were about 11,000 students at the University of Washington.
So, I mean, that's a big university even by today's standards. That must have been quite large in the 40s.
It was a large university. And chemistry was, I think, the largest graduate department was as far as number of students was concerned. And as I remember, there were about 100 graduate students in beginning in
1939. Wow, 100 graduate students in the chemistry department.
Yeah. It was a big department.
There must have been big future in chemistry at that time.
But it turned out that there was so much demand for teaching fellowships. Mm. If you got a teaching fellowship, then you didn't have any tuition to pay.
Okay.
But there was so much demand, I think they had available for the entering class in chemistry. I think there was only, forgotten the exact number, but it wasn't enough to go around to each of the ones who came from other colleges.
Yes.
In the first quarter, I didn't get a teaching fellowship, but it wasn't very long till I did get a teaching fellowship. And I remember in particular one of the classes now in graduate school, the classes are much smaller, of course, than in the undergraduate. But I remember one of the courses in the analytical chemistry department, as I recall, there was something like 15 or 20 students in this class. And when went to the first meeting of the class, here was a long table with a older gentleman sitting at one of the end, and then there was something like maybe 15 to 20 students along the one side of the table and across the end of the table and partway down the other side. Professor announced, he said, "Now this is a graduate class. In the graduate classes, the students do the work, but the professor listens." And that was his introduction. Then he says, "I want to know your name and the school from which you have, the institution from which you have come." Mm-hmm. And so he started down, and the first one gave his name and so forth and came down, and I was sitting at the farthest from him at the other end of this long table. And he came to me and he says, "Your name?" And I said, "Lyle Jensen." He said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "From Walla Walla College." And he just seemed to be kind of startled. But he said, "Do you know the Kretschmars?" Well, it turned out I did, because the Kretschmar was the professor of physics. And then when he said, I said, "Yes, I did." And he said, "Very fine people." And then with that remark, it made me feel quite comfortable. And I had no problem getting teaching fellowships after the first quarter.
What was your doctoral thesis in at the University of Washington?
Well, it was it involved looking at getting the approximate structure of long-chain sulfonates. And it turns out Procter & Gamble was developing so-called soapless soaps at the time. And these were hydrocarbon chains with a sulfate group at one end. And so it turned out you could crystallize them. I couldn't get the complete structure, but I could get an approximation.
Your doctoral thesis, and it was in using X-ray crystallography.
Yes, correct.
And then you graduated from Washington in what year?
Well, none of us knew if we would get to stay through because of the war that was beginning.
Okay.
And so what I did was applied for both a master's degree as well as going on for a PhD, just in case I was drafted. I'd at least have some work beyond college.
Okay.
Apparently the draft board decided that I was worth more if I would go ahead and finish up the PhD, which I did.
Okay.
It turned out that when I checked on what areas of research were available, that there was a young professor just come.
Okay.
From the University of California. And he was setting up to do X-ray crystallography where you look directly at atoms. And this coincided exactly with what I wanted to do.
Okay. So you were at the University of Washington. You graduated in 1943. Many students were not drafted because they were in graduate school and the war effort was going on, obviously. And I guess it was felt that it was best to not draft students like this who were in the sciences. Is that right?
Well, yes. Each draft board was a law unto itself.
Okay.
I think had to meet certain quotas, and depending on what the student was doing or whoever else was in the area that they governed, they would decide which ones should be drafted and which ones should be deferred.
Okay. Okay, well, we're going to talk more about why Dr. Jensen was more valuable as a chemist than he was as a soldier on the front lines to the war effort, and we'll continue that in the next podcast. Thank you very much, Dr. Jensen. This is Casey Luskin with the ID the Future podcast, signing off. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, in the harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Finn. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.